back to the storm that the Apostle Paul went through there in the book of Acts chapter 27. The other night we were up, Brother Tooley's and Brother Ron Cochran was preaching, and he preached Acts chapter 27 almost verse by verse. What a tremendous message it was. And I'm glad that God has it under control. We may not know what's ahead. We can look back behind us and see how God has delivered in days gone by. But we don't know what's ahead of us. But we can be assured of one thing, that we know who's got a hold of everything. And He holds our hand, as we sang this morning. We may not know about tomorrow. May not know about the things of tomorrow. But I'm glad, I thank God, I know who holds tomorrow and who takes care of it. But Paul, he told those fellas, he said, you ought not to leave here. And they listened to the centurion more than they did the man of God. And they went out and had the problem. And it says all hope that we should be saved was taken away. You know, that's where a lot of us have to get to. We've got to get to just the point that there's no hope. No other way of escape except the Lord. And then that next verse says, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. And I put up above that, and I underlined the words, long abstinence. I believe I know what the Apostle Paul was doing while he was gone there. And I put up above that a long time ago, just wrote the word prayer. After long abstinence, Paul came back in the midst of them. And then he made a proclamation. He said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me. And that proclamation was that they should have listened. But he tells them to be of good cheer. And then he gives them a promise there in verse 24 of Acts 27. And he says, fear not. Fear not. And there's where we are tonight. And there's where the passage of Scripture that we want to be using tonight brings us to in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. The reason that we can say, fear not. The reason that the Apostle Paul could say, fear not. And the reason that Jesus over abundantly many, many times said to His disciples and His apostles to fear not was because of we have Romans 8:28, and that verse simply says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Romans chapter 8, verse number 15. We have noticed this verse time and time again. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We've been bringing a number of messages and going through Romans chapter number 8. And this is our sixth in a series of probably 8 or 9, 10 messages on this chapter of no spirit of fear. We haven't been brought under bondage here again, because there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are called of Jesus Christ. We don't have to fear because we have the Son of God living in our heart. And I want us to notice tonight that the reason, one of the reasons, we're looking at reasons tonight, or in these verses of Scripture and these messages that we've been giving, of why we do not have to fear. And the reason that we want to look at tonight is that we have been presented, and we are presented here with Romans 8:28, with an eternal promise that shall never falter, never fail. It'll never go out of existence. It is an eternal promise from the eternal God to you and I that are born again. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. Don't leave that little word "the" out. That's an important word. It's not called, but it's to the called. That's that little article "the" means a particular type of people. We have been called of God unto salvation. And so to them who are not called, but who are the called, according to His purpose. And we want to look at this verse tonight and just notice some things that God has for us. And I found a little story that I want to read to you. I wish I could tell them, but I'd like to read them because I'm afraid I'll leave out the most important part. I found this the other day as I was reading, talking about Romans 8:28. It says, one day a man and his sister were crossing the churning waters below the American Falls at Niagara. They were in a small boat manned by two oarsmen. The current was so swift and the little boat was twisted and tossed violently about. Every moment threatened seemingly to be the last. As a result, the woman became terribly frightened. The sight and the sounds of those mighty waters only added to her fear, and she was sure that they would all be buried in the watery grave. Her brother turned to one of the men and asked, "How often have you crossed here?" And he replied, "We have been taking people across several times a day for 12 years. Have you ever failed to do it?" And the boatman answered, "No, sir. We have been able to get them across every time." "And you've never had an accident?" Again, his answer was no. Once more he questioned, "Not a single person who ever trusted himself to your skill has ever lost his life?" "That's right, sir." Then he turned to his sister and said, "You heard what the man said. Unless you can take the oars and do a better job yourself, sit still and trust him as I do." And I thought how appropriate that is. If we can do a better job than the Lord, then maybe we ought to take over. But I guarantee you tonight, we can't do a better job than what Jesus does for us. The reason I wanted them to sing that song tonight, because it fits right in with the message tonight. God has everything under control. Many times we are in a place and we pass through seemingly dangerous ways, and we pass through valleys of discouragement, and we pass through places that are full of troubles and trials and seemingly on every hand. But I want to tell you tonight that God knows where you are, and God knows exactly what it takes to get you out of that place. Trials and temptations come our way. There's not a one of us in here tonight that can say we've never had a trial, we've never had a test. All of us have that. We cannot say that we don't have any storms in our life. I've heard men say, and I've said it before, and I've said it here, and I'll say it again, that it's been said that we as a people of God, we are either going into a storm, we're in the storm, or we're coming out of a storm. And that's just about right in the believer's life. If you're not in a storm right now, you can praise God for that, because just a little while you'll be in one. And if you're in the midst of it, thank God there's a brighter day on the other side. There's a day when you come out. We don't stay in it all the time. But when we're there, we know that we're in that storm. And so we're either going into a storm, we're in it, or we're coming out of it. I sort of like coming out of them. I don't like that going into them. I don't like being in it. I like coming out on the other side and seeing God be victorious. But all of us have trials and temptations that come our way. Tears shall fall from our eyes. Probably even before this week is over, there's somebody in this congregation that there will be tears fall from your face and from your eyes because of sorrow or because of some tragic event or some thing that comes to your life. And those things come to all of us, but thank God He has it all under control, and He knows about that. Sometimes our trust and our faith will falter. Sometimes we'll get weak. We'll become weary in well-doing. And that's why the Scripture tells us here that we know all things work together for good to them that are that love God, to those that are the called according to the purpose of God. And so these things are given to us that we can have hope, that we can have the blessings of God, that we can have the joy and the peace, and to know that we're on the winning side. I've heard people say that, and I'm sure you have, that we already know who's won the battle. We know we're on the winning side. And the reason we can say that is because of Romans 8:28. I believe one of the greatest verses anywhere in the Word of God is where we are tonight. I know Psalm 23 is a great verse. And that passage of Scripture are great verses. And in times of trouble, we have a comfort in knowing that the Lord is our shepherd, and that He leads us by the waters and those still waters, and that He fills our cup to running over. And those are great verses. And I believe and John chapter 3 and all of the Gospel of John, those first few chapters that tell you about the Son of God, the deity of Jesus Christ, those things are great verses. But I believe one of the greatest verses in my life, and that has helped me as much as anywhere, is where we are tonight. I thrill in knowing and understanding that all things work together for good to those of us that love God. Paul is speaking here of a situation just like that in verse number 26. It says, "Likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities." When we're in trouble, when we're in discouragement, when infirmities come our way, God knows where we are, and all things work together for good. I wonder tonight, whatever happened or what would happen to us if the Lord took His hand of control off of us just for a little bit. It'd be a terrible, terrible thing. I mean, it'd be a defeat that we wouldn't even understand. But God has placed His hand upon His children. God has placed His hand of protection over us. And He keeps us in the way that we should go. And we, by His permission, things come our way. You say, well, I'm in the midst of a real terrible thing. Well, just be assured that God knows about that. And be assured that God has permitted that to come into your life. Now, the devil cannot do anything to a believer. Not one thing can the devil do to a child of God without first asking permission of the Lord. And so you can rest assured tonight that whatever comes your way, God has already given permission for that to come. And God is taking us and molding us and making us and putting us into a vessel that can be used of the Lord. He's working out those hard spots. He's working out those places that are weak. He's working out those areas that need reinforcement, and He's helping us for something yet down in the future. You see, if God didn't temper us, if God didn't try us, if God didn't put us through some trials and testings, then down later in life, we wouldn't be able to withstand some of the things that might come to us. And so God tempers and God puts us in the fire many, many times to make us stronger and to make us better. We get comfort from Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28. R.A. Torrey made this statement about the verse. He says Romans 8:28 is like a soft pillow for a tired heart. And how true that is. It's like a soft pillow when you're so tired at night and you lay down, your body's tired and your mind is tired. You've gone through a tumultuous day at the job or wherever it is, and you just want to get somewhere and lay your head down on a soft place of relaxation and just rest a while. And thank God tonight, spiritually speaking, you and I, when the troubles come our way and the discouragements and the trials and the temptations from the devil come our way, thank God we can rest upon the Word of God, knowing that all things work together for good of those of us that love the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's notice here some things about this verse. We're just going to break it down almost word for word and notice some things tonight. Let's notice, first of all, the fact that this verse introduces to you and I. Those two words there, three words, and we know. Primarily, just those two words, we know. I'm glad tonight that I have the authority of the Word of God that there are many, many things that we can know. I looked through my concordance and I saw and I jotted down some verses and some things that are given in God's Word, especially in the New Testament, about these things that we know. Our Bible is a know-so Bible. It gives you truth, and so therefore you can understand and you can know something. Not only just mentally with your mind, but you can know it with the heart and the spirit and the soul that God has given you. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 22, it says, we know that the whole creation groaneth. When you look out around you tonight and you see the beauty of God's creation, it still groaneth under the travail of sin and the problems that have come upon it. Can you imagine? No, we can't imagine. I shouldn't even say that. We can't imagine what it's going to be like when Jesus sets up His kingdom there in Jerusalem, sits on the throne of David and rules with a rod of iron for 1,000 years, and this world reverts back to a Garden of Eden. We can't imagine what it's going to be like. We can look over the sunset and how beautiful many times the sun sets in the western sky, and we say, isn't that beautiful? We can look up early in the morning and see the sun begin to twinkle its light above the horizon, and we'll say, what a beautiful day God is going to give us. You can look across the desert sands and see the joy, the beauties that God has painted. When we went to California, we went through a place that's called the Painted Desert. Just beautiful colors in that desert, almost breathtaking to see and to look there at the Grand Canyon and to see all the glories and all the beauty that God has put upon this earth. You can go to the East Coast or you can go to the West Coast and you can look out across that ocean and see where heaven meets the water and all the beauty of that. Can you imagine? Oh, thank God what it'll be like when Jesus sets up His throne and there's no more sin revealed and let run rampant in this world. What a great place that will be. But we know right now the creation groaneth. We understand that. In Romans chapter 8, Verse 28, our verse we'll come back to. We know all things work together for good. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 and verse number 9, the Bible says we know in part. There are just a few things we know right now, but thank God there's a day coming that we're going to know in completeness and in wholeness. We know in part right now, but just in a little while we'll know completely. In 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 8, the Bible says that we know the law is good. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, and I believe verse number 30, it says, vengeance, we know that vengeance belongeth to God. It's not ours to execute judgment and vengeance upon this world, but vengeance, we understand, we know that as a believer, that vengeance is mine, saith God. The Bible tells us in 1 John, and the rest of these we know are in 1 John. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, we know Him. Thank God that's above all. We know the Lord Jesus. We know Him. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 18 says, we know that we're living in these last times or these last days. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, that we know that we shall be like Him. When He comes again, we're going to be fashioned like unto Him. 1 John 3:14 says that we know that we have passed from death unto life. I'm glad tonight I know. I'm glad, thank God, I know that I've passed from death and I have eternal life. No longer does the pangs and the holes and the strategy of Satan have a hold upon me to burden me down and to take me to hell. Thank God I've passed from that. That's over with. I've trusted Jesus Christ and He tells me that I know that I've passed from death into life. We live in this life and we think of people passing from life to death. No, we pass from death to life. The Bible says we're dead in sins and trespasses. The Bible says that we're without God, without hope, nothing good within us. And all of a sudden God comes along, taps us on the shoulder and says, look here, son, you need the Lord. You're dead and I want to give you life. And the Spirit of God makes it real to you, and you understand that you're lost and going to the devil's hell. And all of a sudden you trust Jesus Christ and you're alive forever and forever. Don't have any second death, don't have any part on any hold upon us. We're not going to die. We're living forever and ever spiritually. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 24 says, we know that He abideth in us. I'm glad to know that. I'm glad to know the Holy Spirit of God, that Jesus Christ lives in my heart and He's taken up His abode there throughout all eternity. The Bible says, 1 John chapter 5, verse 15, that we know He hears us. I'm glad I can bow my head. I'm glad I can bow my heart. I'm glad I can serve God. I'm glad I can go to Him, fall on my face, and know that He hears my cry. We know that. The Bible declares that to us, that we know that He hears us. Then 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13, tells us that we know that we have eternal life. That's just a few of the we knows. Thank God tonight, this Bible that we study, this Bible that we hold, this Bible that we believe, this Bible that is the very inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God, we can know these things and have assurance and have hope in them. Now verse number 26 of Romans chapter 8 says, we know not. Chapter 8, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not. Now, is that a contradiction? No, because verse number 26 is talking about the flesh. And I'll guarantee you tonight, you don't know about your flesh. You don't know what your flesh is going to do tomorrow. You don't know what your flesh is going to desire tonight. You don't know how the devil's going to attack you. You don't know how the wicked one, Satan's going to come to you. We don't know what our flesh will do. We'll say, I hope I know, but we don't really know. Here Paul says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's talking about the flesh. We don't even know what to pray. We don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit of God helps us. So the we know not in verse 26 is talking about the weakness of the flesh. In verse number 28, the we know of that is the strength of the faith in the Son of God. There's weakness in flesh, there's strength in the faith of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only a child of God who knows. Now, a lot of folks might differ with that. But I believe the only people that know anything that amounts to anything are people of God. Those that have the Spirit of God living in their heart, teaching them and training them in the ways and the walk of life. And so we find that Paul doesn't say here, we think. Paul does not say here, we hope. Paul does not say, we suppose. Paul does not say, we feel. Paul says, we know. Oh, thank God for that knowledge. Thank God for that understanding that we know. That we have that assurance that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not know by intellect, but we know and understand by revelation. The things that we know tonight is not, and I believe I touched on that this morning, those things that we know tonight are not because of what we have learned with the intellectual mind that God has given us, but spiritually the things that we know are those things that have been revealed to us by the Spirit of God that lives and works in our heart. The Bible itself says that these things cannot be understood by the human heart and the human mind because they are spiritually discerned. Only the Spirit of God reveals and helps us. Look, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. Verse number 13. If anybody gets cool, I tell you what, when preacher gets cool, it may be cool out there. Somebody can kick that off back there and somebody can kick this one off up here. But I feel it cool. Well, if you want to do that, you feel free to do that. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciple, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, other Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter, the spokesman, he stands up. And Simon Peter says, and he answers and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's that little article, the again. He's not just Christ. He's not just a son. He's not just a son of a living God, but he's the Son, the Christ of the living God. Now notice what Jesus tells Peter here in verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. What we know about the Lord Jesus Christ does not come about by what we know in our flesh and our blood and our mind. He says here, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Those things that we know and these doctrines that we hold to be true, they have been revealed and have been given to you and I by the Father in heaven, by the Holy Spirit of God, and we hold on to them because we know that they are true. Turn, if you would, to Galatians. Galatians chapter number 1. Can't even read my writing. In verse number, well, let's go back to verse number 10. Paul says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Paul says, that which I preach is not what some man gave me. Paul says, those things that I believe are not just come down through traditions of my fathers, and he says of the Pharisees. He says, the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Look at verse number 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now when God gives you something, you can just rest assured that it'll work, it'll happen, it'll be what God says it will be. And Paul says here, the gospel that I preach is not after men. He said, I have not received it of man. I haven't given anything, I've gotten anything from man. He said, I wasn't taught it. He said, but it was of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I'd rather have that as anything in this world. What God teaches you, you'll never forget. What God teaches you, you can be rest assured that it's just exactly the way it should be. So we know not by our intellect, but we know what we know by the revelation of the Son of God. The book here of Romans 8:28 says, "And we know." And everything you and I know tonight is because of God. If you know 2 times 2 is 4. When I was a kid learning, I had the office time with my multiplication tables. And I can feel for these kids right here. They just can't remember. I get to 7 times 8 and I'd always wonder what that was. And I still have to click that in. I know what it is now, but sometimes I get stumbled up on that. And I had a hard time figuring out that 2 times 2 is 4 and 2 plus 2 is 4. Because that's just different. But everything we know tonight, we know because of God. He's given us a mind. He's given us an intellect. He's given us reasoning ability. He's given us thinking ability. He's given us ability to speak. He's given us ability to go out and earn a living. He's given us everything that we've got tonight. And we can know that He's good and that He does those things for us. Not only do we find the words "and we know," but we find the next 2 or 3 words, especially the words "all things." We know, that is the fact that is given to us. We know. Now let's notice the fullness that this verse teaches. All things. Not a few things. Not some things. Not many things. Not most things. But all things. Ain't that hard to understand? It doesn't take a Greek scholar. It doesn't take somebody with a PhD. It doesn't take somebody that's gone through 4 years of college, 4 years of seminary, and 4 more years of cemetery or whatever. And it doesn't take somebody with a lot of education to understand all things means all things. And the Word of God says here, "And we know that all things," every one of them, not just the good things, not just the happy times, but also the sad times. It's those past things. It's these present things. It's those future things yet out there that are going to work for our good. All things work together for good. All things in verse 28, it looks in 2 different directions at one time. It looks back to the suffering of this present time, according to chapter 8, verse number 18. And it looks ahead to those things in the future, according to verse chapter 8, verse number 38 and 39. Let's read those verses. It says here, "For I am persuaded..." Now these are all things. Paul says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come." All things in the past, the present, and things to come. And then he goes on, "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature," and I like this, "shall be able to separate us." Thank God we have an inseparable salvation. "Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." All things. It looks back to the suffering. It looks back into our minds. All of us can go back into certain periods of times in our lives that we wouldn't desire to go through that again. We can look back and see some times of tears flowing down our face. We can look back in the past and we can remember the things that so bothered us that we just didn't understand what God was doing in our life. We can remember some things that are sorrowful. Along with that, we usually always talk about, but thank God we can remember some good things. I'm glad God gives us a remembrance. I'm glad God gives us a mind that we can recall. I'm glad God's given us a mental capability of storing things up, and we don't always present before us, but something be said, something be done, and it just brings it right back to our face again. God's given us that as a mind, in our mind. And I'm glad just as those things of sorrow that we didn't understand, there are things of joy and things of praise. things that were good and the good, happy times of our life. And we can look back and say, thank God, I know all these things are for my good. Now, we may not understand it while we're going through it. We can look back on it and may not even understand it now. But thank God, one day in the sweet by and by, we'll understand it. We'll understand it better by and by. We'll understand it when we get over on the other side. All the trials and the testings, all the tears and all the sorrows and all the pain and all the hurt, all the discouragement that comes upon the people of God, one day we shall understand that. That we can have blessed hope right now, knowing that these things are for our good, that they'll help us, that they'll teach us, and they'll train us. There's a lot of fallacies that this book here, and especially this verse, will inspect and will really put to flight. The Bible says here, and we know that all things work together. Now I want to skip a little bit and read the next portion. It says, works together to them that love God. Now everything that comes in our life, we'll come back and get that other little phrase in a minute. But you see, Paul didn't say that all things work together for the good of all people. Now that's the predominant thought today. That God is in heaven and everything that comes our way is for our good. Not unless you're a child of God, it's not. All things work together, and it's to them that love God. It's to those of us that have been born again by the Spirit of the Lord. The word work simply implies a continuous cooperation. All things work together for good because push you down the road. If something's not working right, it just don't run right, then you have problems with that. And so this work together, we say all things work together for good. That's true. But it's not necessarily just the future things, but it's the present things. We can say, well, I know whatever's going on in my life, somewhere down the road it'll help me. Well, that's true. But let's forget about future and let's come to present right now. Everything, all things. If you'll read this verse in present tense form as it's written, and we know that's right now. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God right now. Everything that's going on in your life, whether it be a good thing or whether it be a bad thing, whether it be a happy thing or whether it be a sad thing, whether it be a joyous thing or a tearful thing, we know that all things work together for good. Right this very present moment, we may not understand it, we may not enjoy it, but we can be assured of the Word of God that these things are working for our good and for the help of the child of God. It is easy to say all things have worked for my good. It's easy to say that all things will work for my good. But it's not so easy to say all things are working for my good. But that's what that verse tells us. It's easy to look back and see how God in His hand at work has made us travel a course. It's easy to trust God and say, I know somewhere out in the future I'm going to rejoice over this. God says, rejoice evermore. God says, do it now. God says, have rejoicing in all things right now, this very present time. And so that's very difficult to say and to accept that all things right now work for our good. Good illustration of that was a man one time went into a carpet mill. He went on the first floor and all he saw there was the wool and all the different materials that they used to make the yarn to go into that carpet. Had a pile over here, one color, and had a pile over here, another color. Had another pile over here of a color, and had this over there as a backing. It's all dirty and what? It just seemed like it's in such turmoil. And sometimes that's the way our life looks. There's just a pile over here and a pile over there, and something over here, something over there. We're just in terrible turmoil. That man, he went to the second story of that building, where they took and had all the machinery, had everything working together to make that beautiful carpet. And all of a sudden, that little pile over here and that pile over there and that pile over there and that over here and that over there that looked so much out of order and in disarray, all of a sudden it began to make form and to have a beautiful carpet. And that's exactly what God does with my life and with your life. A pile over here and a pile over there, and something over here and something over there, and we're distressed on every side. We're persecuted, and we have troubles. We have tears. We have laughter. We have joy. We have all these things. We're seeing it from the underside. But oh, thank God when we get to the upper side, and we'll see all things did work. Used to have a little old bookmark. I'm sure you have. If you turn over on one side, it looked terrible. I mean, just all messed up. Miss Craven, she does needlepoint. On the back side of that, that doesn't look as pretty as the front side, does it? You know why? You're looking on the back side of it. Boy, you look on the other side. What a beautiful, beautiful picture that needlepoint makes. And thank God, all that God does, we look on this side of it. And a lot of times it's not beautiful. A lot of times it's not joyous. It doesn't look good. But all the upper side of it. What God's doing in our heart, what God's doing in our soul, in our life. What a great thing it is to know that these things are working together to make us what we ought to be for God. To make us a child of the King that is for His honor and His glory. We know here two more little words. The faith here that it instills in us is for good. Just the two little words, for good. Romans 4:15 says the law works wrath. Romans 7:13 says that sin works death. Romans 8:28 says love works good. Thank God tonight it does. It gives us. This verse doesn't tell us that all things work together for happiness. Doesn't tell us that all things work together for health. Doesn't say all things work good and together for comfort and popularity and power and prestige and all. It doesn't say that. But it does say all things work together for good. And God will never send you anything that's not good for you. The good is not our definition, but God's. You see, we try to define what good, what is good. We sometimes think that riches is good when God says riches is bad. Sometimes we'll say that this is good for us, and God says, no, that's bad for you. Sometimes we'll say, I ought not do that because I just don't feel comfortable in that. And God says, yeah, that's what you ought to do. You see, we have to go by God's definition. And all things work together for good. It's not the sheep that makes the decisions, but it's the shepherd. And that's the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. And then lastly tonight, the truth that also is declared here, it says to them who are the called according to His purpose. And that gives you a family that has been identified. Thank God tonight that I'm in the family of the Lord, in the family of God. I've been saved, been blood bought, born again by the Spirit of the Lord. It's the family of God. These things in Romans 8:28 are not for the lost world. Romans 8:28 is not for the crowd that denies God and hates God. It's not for the Hamans of the world. It's not for those that are Hitlers of the world. It's not for the Sadats and all the other people of the world that hate God and the Mohammedism and all the other. It's not for them. But thank God this verse is for you and I. It's for those of us that are saved. It is to them who are the called. If you're saved tonight, you can rest assured, you can underline it in your Bible that you are the called of God. If you're not called of God, then you're not saved. Every person that's ever been saved is the called. And here, that verse right there, the latter portion of it, identifies the family that it talks to. It identifies where it's active and where it works. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We're in the family of God. It's those of us who love God. Loving God, oh my, loving God is our greatest privilege and our greatest purpose. To love Him because He first loved us. We have no fear tonight because we have an eternal promise that we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I do not have to fear, because I have to understand, I have to realize that whatever comes my way, God has either sent it or has permitted it to come into my life. And therefore, the God that knows where I am knows exactly what it took to get me where I am, and He knows what it takes to get me out of where I am. Thank God He's God. And He got full control of everything in my life, in your life. As a child of God, He has full control. We know this by the word of the Lord. Why fear tonight? We've got the promise that whatever comes, before daybreak in the morning, we may have to claim that verse. You better know how to claim it. Before the sun sets tonight and darkness falls upon us, we may have to say, "Oh, I know. I may not understand. I may not have all the details of it. But I've got the Word of God that promises me. I know that all things work together for my good. Because I love God. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm in the family of God. And so I just trust it, leave it all to the Lord." That's why Jesus could say, "Casting all your care upon Him." Because He cares for us. Those things that come our way in our direction that seemingly are terrible and will destroy us, God says, "No, if you're mine, if you belong to Him, He's not going to put any more on you than you can bear." You say, "Well, I didn't think I could bear that." If you've bore it, God knew you could. "I just can't stand anymore." If you can't, and that's true, you'll not have any more. There just won't be any more, because God knows what we need, what we can handle, and what we have to have. Thank God for the promise that we know. Let's stand together tonight.